those gals in Fair, and they know what they're doing. So always makes you sound better when you sing with them. But we appreciate their help. And
yes. And he's the best piano player they got. We need to remember him because he couldn't be there this morning because of his feet. And they need him bad down there.
All right, so what's his name? Jimmy? Oh, you don't know his name? Okay.
They give his name, but I can't hear.
All righty, so we'll remember him. Remember the piano player down at Lick Creek. The Lord will know exactly who you're talking about, won't he? So that's good. We'll certainly do that. Thank you, Jim. And that place down at Lick Creek always kind of has a special place in my heart because that was the first place I preached in a revival meeting was down at Lick Creek Baptist Church at Green Sulphur. So it was quite a time, quite a few years ago. It's unbelievable how quickly all this time has passed, but it's been wonderful. But do pray for him. He needs your prayers. All right, tonight turn with us to the book of Job, Job chapter 28. I'm really going to be speaking on wisdom, and I want to use the book of Proverbs some as well. But there's a few questions that Job asked, and I'm going to try to answer them if I possibly can using the scriptures tonight. Concerning wisdom, so you pray for us as we endeavor to see what God has for us. Now, we're not going to do anything but just kind of scratch the surface of wisdom. You can't you can speak weeks and months on the title of wisdom. So we're just going to kind of scratch the surface a little bit, and hopefully you'll want to dig into what not only Job says in the book of Job, but also in Proverbs and other passages of the Word of God, to really see some, to really get an in-depth study in your own mind and heart concerning wisdom, because it's such a very vital topic, especially for the days in which you and I are living. So open your Bibles there with us to Job chapter number 28, and We'll begin with the question in verse number 12. But before we do that, we'll have a few things I want to say before I get to wisdom. But let's bow our heads and hearts in just a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity again be behind the sacred desk. We thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He's done for each of us as believers. Father, we thank you so much that you are so near to us. You're so near us sometimes that we can even feel your presence. And Father, we thank you so much that we know that you will always be there for us as your people because you've said in your word that you would never leave or forsake us. And we know that you've said that we might boldly say that we will not worry about what people or men can do unto us because we know that you'll take care of your people. So, Father, we thank you tonight for this privilege of being here and being in your presence and your being with us. And now, Father, we ask humbly as we open the precious, eternal, inerrant Word of God tonight that you will anoint us to proclaim that Word. Father, may you have your will and your way working in each of our lives this night, for we do humbly ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We are indeed, as Paul reminds us as we read his epistles, that we're living in perilous times, at a time when all the institutions that you and I hold dear are under attack. The family, the church, schools, our military, our government, our policemen, simply our way of life is under attack today. And if there ever was a time that we needed wisdom, It is today. You know, mothers and fathers need wisdom to be able to raise and to teach their children in the right way, because we know that the Word of God is no longer relevant to the majority of the people. And folks get even upset when you preach the truth of the Word of God. And Brother Floyd just mentioned tonight that the Muslims are trying to take under God out from under the Pledge of Allegiance. So on and on, we could talk about what's happening in our society. So this nation, you see, is rapidly becoming a country that our forefathers and even our own generation doesn't recognize. You remember in the book of Judges, he talks about the fact that the next generation would not even know about the Lord. So we're getting to that place in America today. So what's wrong with this world and its people? I think we have knowledge, and we have lots of knowledge, but without wisdom. You remember Daniel, in the book of Daniel, in chapter number 12 and verse number 4, he spoke about that. The Word of God teaches us in verse number 4 these words: "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the end of time." He says, "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And so knowledge has increased, but without wisdom. And I think this is the same problem, folks, that Job had when he was having his difficulties and his problems. This is the same problem that he had to contend with. His three friends thought that they had all the answers. And what they were saying, of course, had some truth in it, but they had knowledge but no wisdom. And so they end up giving Job some pretty poor advice. In fact, Job in chapter 16, he chides them a little bit for the advice that he gives when he said this. Then Job answered and said, "I've heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all." So they weren't bringing any comfort to Job. The only time I think they really comforted Job was when they first met and they were silent for a long time and said nothing. But now he says, "Miserable comforters are you all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldened thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as you do, if your soul were in my soul's stead. I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you." So we see that Job wasn't very pleased with these men who were, of course, giving him some advice. And this, I think this brings Job to the fact where he asked three questions in verse 12 and also verse number 20. We see he asked the question, these three questions: where shall wisdom be found, he says. And then he says, ask the question, where does wisdom come from, and where does understanding dwell? And so we'll try to answer those in time. Now in verses 1 through 10 of Job chapter 28, he tells us there is a place where gold and silver and precious stones can be found, and how that man, by searching and digging and overturning, can bring these hidden treasures to light. But as these can never meet, of course, all the needs of the human heart, he goes on to ask the question that all the world needs to know. Verse 12, but where shall wisdom be found? And Solomon, of course, in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 7, he says, wisdom is the principal or chief thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And so I think that's good advice for you and I. We know that wisdom is the principle, it's the chief thing, it's the important thing today, and we need to get wisdom. Now, I want to talk just a moment about the definition of wisdom. We find that Warren Wiersbe, who just passed away and is going to be with the Lord, he wrote in his commentary, he says, the key word in the book of Proverbs is wisdom. We commonly think of wisdom as the ability to use knowledge in the right way. And this is a practical definition. But Wiersbe states that in the Bible, wisdom means so much more. He says it's a matter of the heart, not the mind alone. It is the spiritual matter. There is a wisdom, you know, of this world. If you go in, over in the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 2 and verses 1 through 8, we see he speaks there about the wisdom of this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which our God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So he talks about the wisdom of man, and of course also the wisdom of God. The book of James, in James chapter 3, he also speaks about the wisdom of man and the wisdom of the world. In James chapter 3, verse number 13, he says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom which is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easily being treated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." And so we see the contrast between the wisdom of this of man and the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God. And I think that's what Warren Wiersbe is trying to say to us, that you know, you can have all the wisdom of man, you can have knowledge of man, and you and of course be able to apply that knowledge of man. But he says that the wisdom from above, the wisdom of God, is much greater than that, because it not only can you know, of course, this wisdom which is from above, but it will give you the basis for you to be able to take the knowledge of the Word of God and make application. Quite a bit of difference between the two. So it is spiritual. It is not just wisdom, and it's just not knowledge. You can have the knowledge of mankind and be able to apply that knowledge of the world, but still, it's not like having the knowledge of the Word of God and having the wisdom to apply and understand the knowledge of God. I think that's what he's talking about. So we see that wisdom is not just something that you can put on like a garment. Wisdom is character. It is a quality of being wise. It is a condition of the heart. And it has everything to do with our relationship with God. That's so important for us to have wisdom and to have the right condition of our heart. And of course, we know it all begins with fearing the Lord. In verse 28 of the scripture, he says that in Job. Also, we know that it grows as the knowledge of God increases. And that's why we need to know more and more about the Word of God, because as we have more knowledge and have a better understanding of God himself, then, of course, as the knowledge of God increases, so will wisdom in our life. Open the book of Psalms in Psalm chapter 90. And verse 12, Moses was writing in these, but he says, "So teach us to number our days that we may do what? That we may apply our hearts to wisdom." So that's why I think Solomon says that's the principal thing. And of course, it is the chief thing. And therefore, we need to get wisdom. And we need to apply that wisdom all the days of our lives. Now, we have no difficulty in finding the wisdom of this world, which, of course, is foolishness with God. But a man is not truly wise, of course, until he becomes partaker of the wisdom of God. If you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, the Apostle Paul speaking, he says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men." And so, my, what a difference that makes. So we need to become a partaker of the wisdom of Almighty God. We want to not only look at a little bit of the definition of it, but also we want to see that wisdom is not of this world. In verse number 13, we see that of Job, he's answering, and he says, "Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living." And so you're not going to find it. You're not going to find the wisdom of God, the understanding that God wants us to have. You're not going to find it in this world. You're not going to find it in this world system in which you and I live. So the wisdom of heart, you see, that enables man to act before God and men, that will bring satisfaction, of course, to his own soul, makes him good to his fellow man and brings glory to God, is not found, you see, in the land of the living. This barren wilderness, human beings cannot produce, you see it. Out of the land and the depths of the sea, men have brought multitudes of valuable things. But the wisdom that maketh wise unto eternal life has never been found there. The only place that you'll find that kind of wisdom is in the precious Word of God. Remember over in the book of 2 Timothy, Paul writing unto Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15 of that passage says that, he says there that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And that's so vital, and it's so vital that we teach others the Scriptures today, that we teach our children the Scriptures today, because that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. And so the wisdom, you see, that maketh wise and brings a person to eternal life can only be found in the Word of God. So we see that wisdom is not of this world. Also, we see the preciousness of wisdom. In fact, in verse 13, he starts off by saying, Job says, it cannot be priced. There's no price on it. In verse 15, he says, it cannot be bought with any amount of wealth that you have. You may have all the wealth of the world, but it could never produce, you see, the wisdom of God, and you could never buy the wisdom of God. Even the gold of man's righteousness, someone has said these words, that it cannot be, that it would not be any way to purchase the wisdom of God, because all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God and could never be offered as a recompense to God. So it cannot be bought in any way. It cannot be equaled or exchanged, he tells us in verses 17 through 19. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. The exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention will be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. And so he's making quite a case that there's no way that you can buy wisdom. That's an impossibility. And that there's no way that we can get wisdom except from one place, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. And also Job tells us that its power, the power of wisdom, cannot be doubted. He tells us in verse number 22 these words. He says, destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. That's interesting, isn't it? We have the testimony of two things. We have the testimony in that verse of destruction and death. And those are enemies, of course, of wisdom. So the fame of this wisdom is that saves us from destruction and death. You see, if you really want to have life, you must have wisdom. And it will save you from destruction and death. And so they even give testimony of the importance of wisdom. And then we see the discovery of wisdom is found in verse number 20. He asks that question, whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? And of course, we have the answer right in the same passage. We have the answer in verse 23. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. And so that's where, of course, wisdom comes from. And James chapter 1 of the book of James, in verse number 5, He tells us very clearly, doesn't it, that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. See, if you ask of God wisdom, God will give you wisdom as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will give it. He gives to all men liberally. He's not going to upbraideth. He's not going to taunt you. He's not going to scold you, but he will give you his wisdom. And so we must come to God, and we must know him personally. We must have that relationship with God, and then when you ask of God, God will share with you his wisdom. Over in the book of 2 Chronicles, we see that of course, Solomon was speaking to the Lord, and he was praying, and he prays for wisdom. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7, "In that night did God appear unto Solomon, and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee." Isn't that it's a wonderful thing if God would ask you in it. Think about it. The Almighty God of the universe, the one who spoke. And of course, this world was created. The one who spoke and the stars were hung in space and so forth. He appears unto Solomon and he says, "Ask what I shall give thee." And most of us, you know, we might answer the wrong answer, mightn't we? If God had asked you that question as a young believer, what would you have said to God? But he says, "Ask," he says, "what I shall give thee." And Solomon said unto God, "Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people in the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great?" And God said to Solomon, "Because that was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches or wealth or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king." And so he says, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. What a blessing it was for Solomon to ask of God, simply for God to give him wisdom. And then because he asked of God, that just for wisdom and not for wealth and riches, we see that God, of course, said, I'll give you all the other things that you need in life. Isn't that what he tells us really too? Over in the book of Matthew, he says, "What? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And if we'll do that, and he says all these other things that, you know, the Gentiles and others that they're thinking about and they're looking after, he says that all these other things I will give unto you. So we need to do the same thing as Solomon. We need to seek the Lord, and of course to understand the things that God has given unto us. So we find that the way, of course, is the way of love of and mercy. And Solomon talked about that. Now the place he talks about in the book of Job, the place I think is the place where Christ was crucified. The place where Christ was crucified. You see, only God could understand how the deep eternal need of man can be fully met. And the only place that need of man can be fully met is at the cross of Calvary. It's at the place where Jesus died and gave his life on the cross, that we, through the precious blood of the Lamb of God, could be saved and could have this relationship with God. And then we could ask and receive this wisdom of God. Only God could understand that deep need. And only God could meet that deep need. And that need was met at Calvary when the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, Christ is made of God. Think about this now. Christ is made of God. There were several things that God made Christ, wasn't it? One of the things that comes to my mind right away that speaks about that God made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God made him to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And now we see in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that Christ is made of God unto us wisdom. So what is he telling us? I think this is pretty simple, but I think it's pretty profound. I think he's saying to us, when you know Jesus Christ, when you really know Jesus Christ, you know true wisdom. That's knowing true wisdom when you know Jesus Christ. And so that tells us that you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to know all that we possibly can know about Jesus. We need to do, as James tells us, we need to draw near to God, that God will draw nigh unto us, and that we will have understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more you know about Jesus, the more knowledge you have of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more wisdom you will have as well. If you have the fear of the Lord, and of course, we'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ and depart from evil. Foolishness and evil, you see, go together. But you know what? Wisdom and holiness are twin sisters. And so if we want wisdom, we will have, I think, holiness as well, because they are twins. Just as evil, you see, evil and foolishness and those things go together, so wisdom and holiness go together as well. So Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom. It's made unto us righteousness, which we must have, and sanctification and redemption. These are all found in the Lord Jesus Christ without question. And that's the only place that we will find true wisdom in this world in which you and I live. And so Solomon was right when he wrote in Proverbs chapter 4 about the fact that we need to get wisdom. It's the principal thing. If you'll notice that Solomon, in writing in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 4 says, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake you not my law," he said. And then in verse 5 he says, "Get wisdom and understand, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom, the wisdom of God, folks, will protect you as a believer in Christ. And then he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And then he tells us in verse number 13, he says, take fast hold, really lay hold of. He says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. So wisdom is so, so very, very important. It's the most important thing, I think, that we can have as a believer is the wisdom of God. And to have the wisdom of God, we must have Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. If you're here tonight and have never received the Lord Jesus, there's no way that you could possibly have divine wisdom, the wisdom of God. And so we trust, if you have not trusted Him as your Savior, that you might come tonight and receive Christ as your Savior. For as many as received Him, the Lord Jesus, to them gave He the power, the authority to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on His name. So if you're without Christ, may you come and receive Him. If you're here tonight as a believer, God may be spoken to your heart. There may be a need in your life. You feel free to come as well. And we'll take the Word of God and show you what the Word of God says about the need of your life. We're going to stand, we're going to sing as Brother Farron comes and leads us. And as he comes and sings, as the Holy Spirit would speak to your heart. And if you need to come, you come as we sing from the hymnal tonight.
All right, let's turn to number 440 in your hymnal.
Number 440 in the hymnal.